Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I Don't Get It Podcast. Hey guys, welcome to the I Don't Get It Podcast. Don't be confused today though, because Ben is here making it a crossover between the Almost Famous Podcast and the I Don't Get It Podcast. Everybody, welcome Ben
Higgins. We're doing a collab.
Woo! Collab. Ben, you've been on here before. You've been on here as a guy, as one of the guys speaking about guy things, right?
Once, he's done a takeover.
A takeover.
Yeah.
Once before. So this is kind of new ground with the three of you hosting with me. I'm just a guest today. I'm sitting back. I just showered. I worked out. I'm very relaxed right now. I'm very excited to be here with you guys.
Ben, do you prefer to host or be the guest?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Let me answer that in a roundabout way. When I like the hosts, I like to be the guest.
Okay.
When I don't know the guests, or when I'm like wanting to, like I'm intrigued by the guest, I want to be the host because I kind of want to guide it and ask the questions that I'm curious about. But like, since we're friends here, I'm kind of excited just to like walk this with you and let you guide it. And I just get to hang out and talk. Nobody's here to listen to me. They're here to listen to you guys. That's fine.
What? No, everyone's here to listen to you. What do you think? I wanted to start off by asking you, what do you think is the biggest misconception about you?
It's hard. I was asked this question the other day.
We're not original.
No, you are. You are. I was actually asked it by my mother. So you're fairly original.
Okay.
I was like, you know what? It's interesting you ask that because I don't know necessarily how the world sees me. Like when you ask that, like I'd have to assume that the people see me a certain way. So the only way I know to see that is kind of the critical comments and even the positive comments that I get on social media. And if that's good or bad, it's kind of formed the way I think people see me. And I think in the negative light, they see me as incredibly fundamental in thought, religious, politically. Socially, I think they probably see me as a little boring, like a pretty cookie cutter, just like go with the flow, try to say and do the right things at all time. I also think like there's some positive that I think people see that, like, I think I've gotten that, like, hey, he seems to really care about people and their stories. I think the misconception to that would be I'm a lot more, flexible in my systems of belief and my thought. I'm a lot more curious. Most things I would say politically, spiritually, I am a Christian, but that is fairly open-ended because there's a lot of things within the tradition I don't understand, I don't get.
Whoa, this is something I'm learning about you.
Yeah, so I think I must present myself in a way that is somebody that feels like or acts like they know it all or that they have it all together. And in fact, I would say most of my life, I feel like the complete opposite.
Hey, thanks for subtly dropping I Don't Get It in there. Did you do that on purpose?
Yes, I did.
You know, I don't think it's more so you, Ben, and I don't feel like going down this road because we have so much more fun stuff to talk to you about, but I feel like it's just because social media and everything's so one-dimensional, even TV, where it's like, people that saw Ashley on TV probably thought she just cries all the time. And like everyone thinks that you're just, you're the religious guy, you know, that went on a TV show. And it's like, we're all so much more than that. So hopefully we get to like, that's so funny you said that about religion though, because I literally wrote down, do you believe in horoscopes as a question to ask you today?
Psychics and ghosts.
Oh, that's fun.
That is fun. I do not. Maybe I just don't know enough. But it's never been something that's intrigued me or that I found interesting, mostly because I feel like when I read those, it's like, well, of course this year is going to be full of joys and pains, and there's going to be something that marks your life in a dress. Like, I don't know. Like, I want a little more detail. I don't find it helpful. Maybe I don't not believe in it. I just don't find it helpful.
But Ben, you don't believe in ghosts?
I do believe in ghosts. No, that is something I believe in. One is because my father, who I believe is one of the most honest men that I've ever met, meaning he doesn't his fish stories when he catches a fish are very accurate. And he claims that when he was younger, he was running a hotel. He's opening up a hotel and he's walking up the stairs and this white like sheet came down the stairs as he was walking up. He was the only one in the whole hotel. And it was cold and it knocked him and the guy with him down to their knees. And they still will admit to that today, like where they're like, what was that? And they're like, we don't know.
Knocked him. We down need the name of this hotel.
Yeah.
I need to know this hotel. I need to stay there.
Why is it always hotels and staircases?
Because so many people come in and out. The energy is constantly evolving.
That's a good point, Lauren. I need to watch Murder at Cecil or Cecile Hotel.
Oh, Cecil Hotel. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Ben. Since, you know, you talked about being a Christian and everything, I wanted to know if you have a specific memory of a sexual awakening that may be kind of also a misconception, like a sexual awakening. Like you were like a sexual awakening for me was definitely watching Pocahontas and seeing John Smith with his hair like softly blowing in the breeze. Do you remember anything like that, that you were a little bit like, boing?
Yes. Boing. let me think back on this. Well,
when was the first time you got a boner?
Okay,
yeah.
We've talked about this. Anything. No, we've talked about this on the podcast, but just if you want to know for context, Naz had her first horny moment while watching Jerry Springer.
Really?
I was at my neighbor's house, who I'd always stay with, Ben. Well, we want to hear your answer. I was at my neighbor's house, and I would stay there until my parents got home from work, and I literally started touching my vagina, and I was like, guys, I feel a tingly feeling, and my neighbors started dying laughing, and it was people were screaming, like, Jerry, Jerry, and I don't know, it's so mortifying to this day.
Well, I would imagine, I had to be pretty young, because I remember the house we were living in at the time, and we moved a couple times, but there was this, I had this TV and Howard Stern used to do his radio show like on TV. Do you remember that? Like E used to cover his radio show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get E. Like, I don't know if my parents had blocked or what, but what I did get, if I went up to like channel 150, this is so embarrassing. I haven't thought about this in so long. It was like, you know how like when you didn't get a channel, it'd be like black and white and like really fuzzy and you could only static. Like some like staticky and you could only see like the outlines of the people. You'd kind of hear him. Well, I used to watch that to watch Howard Stern because you'd have all these guests on. You could hear him talking and you'd hear him talking about all these crazy things. I remember watching it one time and you could see this outline of this woman. And I was like, oh yeah, that's good stuff. And I think I watched that in the fuzz. I mean, that's embarrassing, but I think I watched the fuzzies for like years of my life.
Determination.
I love myself some fuzzies.
Lauren and I used to wait for our parents to go to bed and then we'd watch Dr. Ruth talk about sex toys and like that was very
exhilarating. Isn't Dr. Sue Johansson?
Oh, Dr. Sue Johansson. Oh,
yeah.
Is she still with us?
I think so. We would know. Ben,
like Ashley and I would laugh and then we look at each other like, ha, and then we'd be quiet. Like, actually, yeah.
This is so silly. We're watching this. So silly. Oh my God. We watch it for laughs. Yeah.
And then you'd be like, wait, let me write this down. That's so good. Yeah. Dr. Sue, say it again.
This seems fun. Yeah. No, yeah. The fuzzies. Oh,
did you know what it was when it happened?
You know, it's so interesting to think about now because I don't think I did. You know, like, I think I just knew I liked it. Does that make sense? Like, I don't think I knew exactly what it was. I was young. I mean, okay, so I can trace this back. This was a house I was living in starting when I was in, like, third grade. So I had to be pretty – oh, yes, because here's the first moment. Okay, this is a good story. Guys, I'm glad you're bringing me back.
I love this. This is so fun.
Is this weird?
No, this is great.
Okay,
this
so
is literally what we wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah,
the episode's going to be called Ben's First Boner.
Oh, man.
I'm just kidding.
No, that'd be good. I'm all for it.
Okay.
It's all an innocent fun.
So, guys, this episode is actually sponsored by Apostrophe. And if you don't know what that is, it is a prescription skincare company for people that are ready to take their acne seriously. Prescription acne treatment actually works, but it's kind of hard to get, right, Ashley?
Yeah, because you have to go see a doctor and sit in line at a pharmacy to get your medications. But that was the case until Apostrophe, because they make it easy to see a board-certified dermatologist online. You'll get treated immediately and get your medications delivered to your house, which is so nice. All you have to do is fill out Apostrophe's online questionnaire about your skin concerns and your medical history. You show take a couple selfies, show the dermatologist, and then they'll get back to you with a customized treatment plan tailored just for you. And they can do topical and oral medications, so you can treat your acne from the
oral medication.
Right? Yeah, I love them, because I talked to a dermatologist and I was able to get a topical that is okay for people who are trying to conceive, because there's a point where you really shouldn't be on retinol. So I got something else through Apostrophe that's been really working.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's also great for people that don't necessarily have acne, but they're just trying to find like a new skincare regimen. Or if you're getting older and you're noticing your skin is kind of like getting more wrinkly and you want to fix that, they'll give you some medication and like a regimen that is good for you. A regimen, not a regime.
So get $15 off your first visit with a board certified dermatologist at apostrophe.com/get it and use our code get it. This code is only available for our listeners. So get started at apostrophe.com/get it. Click begin visit and then use the code get it at sign up and you'll get $15 off your dermatology visit. That is apostrophe apostrophe.com/get it. Promo code get it. And thank you to Apostrophe for sponsoring this podcast.
Okay. So I was in, we had a library at my elementary school. I was in the first grade. So this must have been pre-fuzzies. And there was an art book that I opened up. And my buddy and I are sitting there reading it in the corner. And we're both like laying on our stomachs. And we open it up. And there's like a painting, like an old like oil painting of like this woman. And I remember like laying there and being like, uh-oh, something's happened. Like, this is weird. And I was like, it doesn't feel bad. I'm not like scared, right? Like it doesn't feel scary. It doesn't, but it's like uncommon. It's new. And I think ever since then, I was like, I'm interested or I'm intrigued or I don't hate this. And then it kind of just like continued to grow over time. But yeah,
Can you describe the painting?
I think I could actually find it. It was like a Mona Lisa. Like it was very similar to like Mona Lisa. I forget the exact name. But it was her, you call it a bust. Is that what you call it? Like when it's just her, like the chest up. Yeah, that was a woman.
Very, very interesting.
So Ben got off to Renaissance art.
It's like all weird things. There were like weird parts of Disney movies that also made me like want to go hump my pillow. And that makes me really freaked out. But, you know, it happens. On the podcast we've talked so many times about, you know, that moment where you taught the kids on Caitlin season about sex and how I thought that was like the most amazing thing ever. You did it so well that who taught you how to give sex ed so well? Like, I know that you said that you
the birds and the bees.
You used to teach it, right?
Yeah. Well, that's a long story. I'll try to condense it here. So, growing up in the church, especially in the Midwest, there was a lot of misconceptions about sex. I lived and grew up in the church during the abstinence movement. And in a sense, the abstinence movement was pretty corrupted. If you look at the history of that, there's a reason why it started. And the reason was really initially to eliminate STDs. And then it kind of grew into this whole new beast where kids were making this commitment at a very young age with their parents mm-hmm. present to stay abstinent. And mm-hmm. and a
I
lot
remember
of,
this. Wow. Yeah,
in a lot of ways, it was okay because it was teaching about the power of sex, which I think we could all agree there is a power to that. There is a responsibility to that. But at the mm-hmm. same time, that it was bringing a lot of shame and guilt upon it. And so what would happen is these kids would then go off and they'd, you know, they'd wear their purity ring for a few years. And then they would end up, you know, having intercourse and they would feel a tremendous amount of shame and guilt, so much so that they wouldn't tell their families. They wouldn't tell their friends. They would be fearful of judgment. They'd be fearful of the repercussions from it. And at that point in time, finally, when those kids started to come to age, I was actually working at my church in the youth group. And I was hearing these stories from kids. And I was like, there's something unhealthy here, right? The kids shouldn't drugs, sex, and alcohol should not be mixed into the same thing. Like, sex is a beautiful thing, mm-hmm. when done on your terms, responsibly. You know, if you want to wait for the commitment of your partner, fantastic. If that doesn't happen, I don't think it should be associated with a bunch of shame. I don't think shame is ever healthy. And I was like, there has to be a better way. And so I actually went on, found a lot of curiosity. I went into college and started studying sex ed. And so I kind of cheated when it came to the teaching portion of that date. No, I had never shared that with anybody, but I had gone to college and I had studied for 3 years sexual education. Wow. And so I knew kind of, I had already found an interest, and I still kind of do, in like teaching sex ed within the church, teaching sex ed to youth in a healthy and responsible way. And so I kind of already had formulated a lot of these thoughts. They asked me to like present way before the show. And this was kind of like my Super Bowl. I was like, oh, I can do this. Yeah. And I can kind of do it well because I've thought about it.
I grew up super religious Catholic household. I would imagine when you learn sex ed and you're teaching it to other people, you have to have a sort of familiarity and comfortability with it. Do you, this may be a really personal question, but how comfortable or uncomfortable was it when you entered masturbating?
Oh my God.
And I asked that because I think it affected me. I'm a late bloomer in a lot of ways. I think that's why Ashley became one of my best friends, because I, you know, I'd never had a boyfriend and we were like of a certain age. I'm a late bloomer in a lot of ways. And I think because I grew up super religious, it wasn't until we started doing podcasts together, remember, about like different sex and stuff, that I was like really like open to that part of the world in myself. So I'm just curious if you are.
Well, I mean, I think I'm very comfortable with it, because one thing, it's not something to necessarily like hide. I think there's like a vulnerability to that. And I think there's a trust within that. And I think there's the appropriate places to share that. But again, like one of the things that early on in my life, I wanted to combat is the shame wrapped around it. And so I was very comfortable with it, because I knew the only way that I was ever going to be able to relate or to sit in empathy or to sit and listen to these kids who were telling their stories or were, you know, feeling isolated and alone because of it, was to be comfortable with it myself. And so there's like, you know, I've said this is like, there's no, like, I don't feel awkward right now. I don't feel awkward in these conversations. I enjoy these conversations. I think they're interesting. Now there's a line that is crossed before, and when it becomes unhealthy or inappropriate, but for the most part in these conversations, I actually feel like this is something that I haven't been like kind of called to, is to combat the shame and guilt around it. So yeah, very comfortable.
Interesting.
Do you find that in the church that I had a client remaining anonymous. She is saving herself for marriage, and she was like asking all these questions because she literally had no idea about anything going on in the human body. And I was like, well, why don't you like explore yourself before mm-hmm. you think about giving it up to this guy that she's been seeing? Because she was like, maybe I'm going to go against my religion. I'm going to do it. I was like, why don't you explore yourself? She goes, I would never do that. I would always have sex before masturbation. And I was like, that is so crazy that she's more shameful about masturbation than she is about having actual intercourse.
Yeah, there's a lot of so much shame around it. It's wild.
Yeah.
What I love about this conversation so far, though, is that all the misconceptions that you said at the beginning, Ben, you really are turning it on its head, because people look at you as like this super, you know, this guy that is connected to faith, and you are, but that maybe is like super conservative religiously. And it turns out you actually are like an expert on sex talk. And I actually, it's really refreshing to hear you talk about this stuff, which is why I asked you the masturbating question.
Well, wouldn't it be super interesting if in the church, it wasn't so much an oasis in the desert, like, you know, meaning like, what if, you know, the church sometimes feels like the world is this like desert and it's dying and it's unhealthy, but like actually the desert within the oasis. And so we look at the world and we're like, okay, when we're in the church, like we can actually expound on the things that bother us the most. We can talk about the fears and the misconceptions and the shame. What if the church became a place where we could actually be open with each other? Because ultimately, if you're going to church, I would hope that you would say, okay, even if you're on the search for it, you say, okay, I believe there is a God, you know, whatever that God looks like and mean, but I believe there is a God. And if there is a God, this God knows everything about this already. He knows where I've been. He knows where I'm going. He knows where I'm at right now. And I just need a safe community to be able to openly speak about the stuff that's bothering me and it's hurting me inside, so that I can find some relief, to then enter back into this, you know, oasis outside, which is the world. And I kind of want to be a part of that. Like, I want to be a part of a place where people can feel vulnerable. They can feel like they can trust. They can feel like they can open up. Those are the things that inspire me the most.
So I don't know if this is relatable out there, but I have a credit card and I just pay it off very, very, very slowly every month. And it's very scary to look at the balance. And Upstart is helping me kind of take the fear out of looking at that balance and making sure that my finances are in order. So last year showed us that you never know what life is going to throw at you. And if you use credit cards to pay for unexpected expenses, it can be overwhelming to manage that debt. I'm pretty sure a lot of us out there have debt and we need something like Upstart to help us.
Yeah. I feel like everyone in my life is trying to get better with their finances now that we're like in lockdown kind of. And what's great about Upstart is that they make things simple with one Simply payment in one place. So whether you have to pay off credit cards, like Lauren was saying, consolidating your high interest debt or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. It just makes it super easy.
You can find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/get it. That is upstart.com/get it. And don't forget to use the URL. That way they know that we were the ones who sent you there. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided during your loan application. Go to upstart.com/get it today.
Would you ever become a minister?
No, not in traditional sense. I can't say never, I guess. It doesn't intrigue me. One is I have a couple buddies who are ministers. It's a really, like, I don't have the social capacity to be one. It may be another misconception. I'm a fairly large, big introvert. I test out pretty high on that. Too much human connection too much human interaction really exhausts me. And then,
same.
And this is going to sound like a little bit self-promoting, but like I'm very sensitive. And I know that about myself. Like, I'm very sensitive when it comes to my relationship with Jessica. Like, if she's down, I'm down. If people aren't having fun around me, I'm not having fun around me. People are having fun. I'm very reactive to the people
you
around
absorb.
Me.
You need to get into horoscopes because you're such an Aries. I mean, we're both Aries.
But I think he's very, it sounds like he's cuspy because I know that your birthday is in March.
Yeah.
His birthday's 2 days after mine.
Yeah. So like you have it sounds like you have Pisces in you to absorb the feelings around you.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you guys are such experts on this.
most women are.
They just know their own very well.
Yeah, that's true.
So I would say, with that being said, a minister's job is really difficult because one, you're representing the church. Two, you're hearing everybody's deepest pains. You're also walking a line when you do get up on a Sunday or whenever it is and you preach to not, you know, completely offend the congregation, but yet you want to speak truth into them. And that, when I think through those things, it exhausts me. It doesn't necessarily fire me up. And so it hasn't intrigued me in years. I used to think maybe, but not recently.
Do you feel the same way about running for office? Because I think when you and I got really close, it was when you started taping the spinoff shows on Freeform that I got to work on and spend a lot of time with you on, which was such an interesting, cool like way to get to know you, Ben. But like, is that something that you equally wouldn't want to do because of the same reasons?
Well, I've had a lot of, you know, the political world looks a lot different than it did 5 years ago. I mean, drastically different, right? You have a good example is like McCain's speech when he lost to Obama compared to what just happened, no matter what side you are on, like the very different political climate. And I feel like right now, when it comes to politics, it's the people that yell the loudest are the ones that are heard. And I'm just not a big fan of yelling. Like, I'm just not in anything. Like, it's just not the way I want to communicate. I'm not that steadfast in many things that I feel like I know. I know that I really do like people and I don't like to see people hurt. And that's kind of what I was running on, was like this idea that I could like communicate and develop policy and work in policy that like uplifted the least of the bees and the people that we viewed were suffering from the most injustice. And that just doesn't feel like something I could do right now. And so that doesn't intrigue me anymore as much either. Now, in a few years, maybe things switch back and I feel like there's a place for that. Yes, I would be very interested in public service. But right now, it feels, again, exhausting and not necessarily helpful.
Do you feel like that position would also sort of drain you socially?
Yes, and you're around for a lot of that. I was out campaigning. I was meeting for breakfast at 5 a.m. with people. I was hearing all these different opinions. I was hearing people say, hey, I'll give you money if. And I was like, I can't do this. Like, this doesn't seem fun. This doesn't seem exciting. It doesn't seem what I thought I was getting myself into. So, yes, it does. That part of it worries me, because I ultimately – can't meet for breakfast every day at 5 a.m.
And schmooze. I feel like you have to have some kind of dark side to be in politics anyway, and I don't see that.
You know what's interesting is that we so didn't want this to be a serious.
Well,
like,
it was still we had serious. We got some serious in here, but we also have lots of boner talk. So.
Yeah, that's true. But I just wanted to tell you guys. Interestingly enough, I'm reading this book right now called Together by Vivek Murthy, who I'm just obsessed with, but he talks about this and it is so interesting because it's like, why is that a requirement to be a leader in general, especially politics in America, where it's like being social? It's like, what if why do we idolize that and give so much adulation towards that when it's like, what if an introvert would be an equally good leader, but doesn't want to shake hands with a million people, therefore cannot like succeed in American politics? It's like so interesting to me. It's like kind of unfair.
It's all about putting on a show. Yeah.
That's interesting because actually in this book that my dad really wanted Jared and I to read, and Jared read the whole thing and I didn't really read the whole thing yet. It's called Good to Great. And it's all about how like the greatest leaders of all of, like the biggest businesses, most successful long-term businesses have been really subdued, introverted people.
CEOs.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think, Anyways, we don't need to go down
that hole. But let's go back to some fluff stuff for a second and revisit The Bachelor. I mainly want to talk about your friendship with Becca Tilly and how if you would go back in time, would you take her farther in the competition than you did?
Oh, good. Okay. So just for some background, I think Becca Tilly is one of the coolest, best people that I've ever met. She's been fantastic to my fiance, Jessica. She's welcomed Jessica in with open arms. She welcomed me in with open arms. She came on my season and we had actually talked before the season even started. We had texted back and forth, not a lot, but enough for her to say, hey, Ben, this is a big thing for me. I'm interested in coming on. Should I come on? And I said, yes, you should, because I think we should figure this out. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that I respect about you. There's a lot of things I admire about you. I think you should come on. And that's kind of where we left it. And so after night one, if you remember, everybody got out of the limo and I had no clue she was there. And I was like, okay, she's just going to come. And I was a little sad about that, but I was like, that's fine. And she showed up later on, like that night. And we had this incredible experience that we got to know each other really well. I don't regret not bringing her further for one reason. One, I let her go right before hometowns, and her family had already been involved in hometowns. And at that point, I was very confident that she was not the one for me, and I was not the one for her. And so I thought, okay, is she in my top four? 100%, she is.
Oh, but mentally, yes.
Mentally, yes. But I had to like say goodbye to her because I knew that if I brought her family into this, that would be just one more ask of them that just didn't feel healthy, especially knowing that, you know, it wasn't going to work in the end. So not really. I think she was a little shocked because I think she thought, oh, I'm in the top four, like 100%. Like I'm here. This could work. And so when I let her go, she looked at me, she's like, you promised me you wouldn't hurt me like this. I was like, I'm sorry, Becca, but like, we can talk after. But yeah, I mean, we've continued to stay friends this day. But yeah, I don't really regret that because there was a reason for it.
You brush, you floss, you chew gum. What? Brush, floss, chew gum? Yeah, actually, chewing gum is the unsung hero when it comes to better oral health. The American Dental Association recommends chewing sugar-free gum for 20 minutes after meals. Isn't that interesting? It's also a great way to relieve stress, curb your appetite, freshen your breath. And many people don't realize that gum can also be an integral part of a healthy oral care routine.
I mean, I agree. We all chew gum, but I mean, let's be real. Not all gum is created equal. Some might come in like super fancy packaging, but they only cover up bad breath. Others are obviously loaded with a lot of sugar and can wreak havoc on your teeth. But luckily, the oral care experts at Quip have made a gum that stands out from the pack, one that can help prevent cavities. Oh, and did we mention that it tastes amazing?
Yeah, and it comes in this cute little slim, ready, travel-ready dispenser. It comes in different colors. It's metal or it's plastic, depending on what you want. And it protects your gum 10 pieces at a time. Fits in any purse or pocket. It's also extra safe and hygienic. And, you know, you're not, like, throwing it in your purse and then, like, stuff and junk gets all over your gum. And you're like, is this one okay to eat?
It's super fun because I just pop them in like I'm like a little kid and I'm like, oh, I'm doing something healthy, like to help myself. Yeah. So I love
Yeah, you can
Quip's
be the
gum.
Coolest kid at school or at work, you know, when you have the gum and everyone's like, what do you got? Can I have a piece? You'll
exactly.
Be the coolest kid around. And if you go to getquip.com/get it right now, you can get a free plastic dispenser with any refill plan. It's a free dispenser at getquip.com/get it. That's getquip.com/get it. Quip, the good habits company.
Yeah, and let me just throw in there, it's important to know that just like Quip's toothbrushes, where they send you a whole bunch of different heads whenever you need them,
you need a new one, yeah.
When it's time, they also send you new gum on a refill basis like that.
Genius. Ben, when did you know that Jess was the one? Because you talk about you knew when Becca wasn't the one, so I'm assuming you really like know that feeling well. Do you remember that moment, and can you describe?
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day because we're about a month away from being engaged for a year.
Yay.
And, you know, it's I want to be honest in that because, you know, with many of my relationships, there's this like euphoric, overtaking, completely like almost paralyzing like feeling where you're like, I cannot even function without talking to you. Now,
I have so much to talk to you about this.
We're glad that you're going in this direction. Okay. That's why we're geeking out over
here. Yeah. So with her though, it was this like continual, like, I don't want to say reassurance, but just like continual thought in the back of my head. Like I'm so happy. Like I'm so filled. I'm so joy filled. Like I'm the better version of myself. In fact, like I feel like I have more freedom with Jessica, like more hope with Jessica, more joy with Jessica. Like I can expound on my dreams and my goals. And I just have her as an incredible partner by my side. And so it was always this kind of like, I don't know if there's an exact moment, but when we finally started talking about our future and we brought up like, you know, is this something that we see as forever? In my mind, it was like, well, of course, like it's never been a question. Like I've never had that moment because it's never been a question. It's always been there. It's always been a thing. And it was unlike when you like have this euphoric start to a dating relationship and then that fades a bit over time and you start to question, do I still love this person? Do I still like this person? Where am I at with this person? With her, it was just this consistent like reassurance in my life that I do love her. And it was a peace.
Aww.
It was a peace. I'd say the best way to say it, I was so at peace with it.
This is hilarious. So Ashley literally asked me to like bring this up with you because Nick recently had Dr. Laura on his podcast and I've been dating Ben and I met
the same guy.
I met someone that, that I wasn't like, didn't have that sort of anticipatory anxiety around where I wasn't like, oh my God, always thinking about this person.
No frenzy.
And so in my head, I was like, do I like this person? And it's funny because the word Dr. Laura used was peace. And she was like, when you feel the other way, the way I just described, she's like, run the other way. When you like someone, it's more like peaceful. And I was like, this is so interesting because in social media and pop culture and in movies, we're taught, and even on The Bachelor, we're taught that it's supposed to be this obsessive, like, oh my God, over the top feeling.
Yeah.
The spark.
Yeah.
And I would say that like, now that I know I'm in a very healthy, very happy relationship, it's not been that. It's not this like, there's been moments of spark, right? Like the other day we were together and she put on this dress and she walked into the room and I was like, oh, wow.
Aww,
like,
that's so sweet.
No. Nah. And like, it was a spark, right? Like all of a sudden I was like, it's just like something, my world kind of stopped. But most of the time, it's just this, like, I'm excited to see her. She's my best friend. I know that when I see her, my life is going to be a little better. I'm excited to just sit with her on the couch and, like, cuddle up with her. And, like, I'd say that's more of it. It's a peace that I have in most moments.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
This is for Naz and Ben. Well, actually, Ben, you're an introvert. So do you feel recharged being with her, even though you're not alone?
Yes. Yeah. Most of the time there's like some moments, and she knows this, or like maybe she has a really rough day, or she's had a big day and I've had a big day, and I sit down on the couch and all of a sudden, like, I'm hearing about the day, or like maybe there's something tough going on, and I got to sit in that and sit with her through that. And that's like, that's more of like the commitment I've made to her. Like, I'm going to be that for her. I wouldn't say it's recharging. Oftentimes, like after those, right, I'm pretty exhausted, but about 90% of the time I feel very, like, very rested around her. But considering we did long distance for 2.5 years, and it wasn't until she moved to Denver where we could just, like, be together and not have to be doing anything that really started. I think we would both say that long distance kind of exhausted us, because when she would come to town, we'd be always on the go. We'd be doing something next. We'd be going to dinner. We'd be out at seeing my friends, whatever that was. And now that we have more time just to sit, it's been very nice.
Lauren, one thing I learned from the book I'm reading is that I actually am an introvert, and I didn't know the real definition of what an introvert is, which is so weird.
I was going to ask you the same question to you, because I think that you're a mixture of both.
Oh, okay. I think, you know, I always thought, oh, extrovert, but introverts actually rather hang out with just like one or two friends than like a group. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely me. I rather like really connect with you and Ashley than like be in a room full of 10 people.
Yeah. Plus, which I thought was interesting. I think you recharge a little bit by yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Talk about the wedding. Like, what's up? You guys are just about to put out the wedding invitations. Are you nervous that November is going to come around and it's still going to be like we can't have 400 people in a room?
Yes, very much so. Getting more nervous as the days go on for that. However, we have told each other that no matter what, we're going to be getting married. And so, like, that's really what we're excited about. Ultimately, like, if it doesn't look how we thought it was going to look, we're going to be okay with that, but it doesn't take away from the moment. You know, we are getting married in November, no matter what. We're going to be doing it at least with friends or with family there. And if that's the case, like, that's special still. It's just going to be different. It's going to be a story to tell, but it would just be awesome. I mean, how often is it in life where you can have all your friends in one room celebrating something good? Like, I just want that so bad.
Yeah, Ashley and Jared's wedding was literally like the party of the century.
It was
so Gatsby like in that way.
I'm having a slight anxiety attack right now because there's another best friend's wedding in November.
And oh, you're scared us at the same time.
Oh my God. I'm like, why are you so quiet right now?
Oh no.
Oh my God.
Her mind is like going through a calendar.
Isn't that funny when you're, isn't it how our minds work? We're just in the middle of conversation and then your mind's like, oh fuck, oh fuck. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
No, wait. Actually, our other best friend's wedding is on a Friday. So we would, yours won't be a Friday. So we would be be able to make both days.
Worst case, you'll just fly really fast.
Yeah.
You'll make it happen.
I understand that.
Do you think you guys are going to live in Colorado forever?
No, I don't. I love Denver, right? Like I have, we have now 3 restaurants there. We have a couple more coming in. I have the coffee shops there and super excited about Denver. I love Denver. We just got a house in Denver. But ultimately long-term, like I want to be around closer to her family and my family. And Denver isn't necessarily close to either of them. In fact, it's like the opposite side of the country. And the biggest thing you'll get this, Naz, is I miss water a ton. Denver doesn't have water. I miss water. And so I want to be around water.
Yeah. Being a Florida girl, you got to have that.
So we all shop online. We know that dreaded little discount code box that we're like, there has to be a code out there. There has to be a code. If it's there, there has to be a code. And the way to make sure you have a code every single time is by downloading Honey.
Yeah, Honey is this free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one to your cart. They support over 30,000 stores online that range from tech, gaming, fashion brands, even food delivery. When we got our groceries last week, we realized that we'd saved, I think it was like $10.50 just by using Honey.
Wow. That's insane, guys. So if you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and you can install it in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Win-win. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/IDGI. That's honey.com/IDGI. We also wanted to ask you, obviously, about your book.
Yes.
Because... you sent it to me. I can't wait to read it. I will definitely be calling you as soon as I'm done with it. Did you actually write it? And I'm only asking you that because that's what people really want to know, not because I don't think you did.
Not because you don't believe you can write.
Exactly.
Okay. I'll tell you exactly how the process worked. So this was a journal that I started 2 years ago, actually during my time on the show. Right afterwards, I had went in a really dark place for multiple reasons. And I started just writing my thoughts because the counselor told me you start writing your thoughts. So I started writing my thoughts. And then I started sharing my thoughts at some point a few months later. And I realized that a lot of people felt similar to how I did. Like they felt like the way I explained the book and the way I'd explain it is I feel like the kid looking through the window at the party he wasn't invited to. But all of his friends are inside. And that's how I operate and still as an adult in most of my life. And so I thought, okay, there's something here that is relatable and familiar. And it's a feeling that I don't like, and I can't imagine anybody does like it. And then I got asked to write a book. And I said, I'm not gonna write a bachelor tell-all because one, I just don't have a lot to share, like a lot to tell. And two, if I get one chance in this world to write a book, I want it to be something that I could be really proud of. Like something that is something that I could say that I could promote and talk about and that would help, you know, help me in the next season of life, which won't be me being the bachelor. It'll be me being a husband and me being a father and me being a friend. And so I wrote this all out and I would say, let's be generous to me, like a little bit over half the book. And then if you read the book, you realize that it's really heavy at times, but it's also, shares a lot of my stories in life about addiction and about mistreatment of others. And I started to finish the book and I was like, kind of fluffing it up. Like I was not digging deep anymore. I was kind of tired of digging deep. And so I brought in, you'll see a guy on there, Mark Tabb. He came in at that point because I hit a wall and I had it written for like 3 months and I had a deadline and he came in and he started asking me the questions that he thought mattered. And so I kept writing the chapters and then I'd send it to him and then he would help rework the chapters. Finally, I'd say it's probably the last section of the book. I was on a tour bus for Bachelor Live on Stage. And I started just voicing the chapters. And so then we had somebody type those chapters out and then he would help them become more readable. They'd flow a little better. And so I don't know if you call that.
It's a whole process. Wow. That's so interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know if you call it, like, I can't take credit for saying, if you say, did you write the whole book? I would say yes and no. Like I know every word going on there. I had a say in every word going in there. My voice was throughout it. A lot of it was my writing, but I think with anybody's book, it's a lot of editing. It's a lot of reconfiguration. And that's how I felt about this. It wasn't a straight like ghostwriter project where somebody went in and said, I'm just gonna write your book and you put your name on it. Like if you read the book, you could hopefully see that like there's no way a ghostwriter could write the things that are in that book. Because
it's so obvious. Yeah. It sounds like Ben's voice the entire time.
The book's called Alone in Plain Sight, and you guys should definitely check it out, pick it up. I love the message behind it, Ben, how, you know, you felt lonely and you used your story to make people feel less lonely. I could go on and on about that. So really amazing. Everyone should definitely check that out.
Thank you.
I think it'd be great if we can get some I Don't Get It. Is that what you're going to say, Lauren?
I was going to ask for I Don't Get It, but I think that the very interesting questions at the bottom of our list is, Ben, if you were to play Bachelor Matchmaker, who would you put together that hasn't already like explored each other?
Oh my gosh, that's such a tough question. Well, I mean, honestly, a lot of my friends are no longer single in this world.
I know.
Like you'd have so to almost boring. Give me a list. I would love to answer this question, except like I would obviously go like, okay, Becca Kufrin would be Becca Kufrin would be a name that comes to mind as somebody who is single. And then you'd have to throw a good guy in there.
I still like her and Blake. I really do.
I know that's the first thing that came to mind is like maybe her and Blake still. Like I feel like that has been explored though. But quite honestly,
what about Hannah?
She's dating.
Oh, that's right.
Hannah B.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he also wants a set of people that he like actually knows pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know Hannah at all.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah. I'm thinking about like the new season of Paradise coming out. It's like all the guys from Tayshia's season and then all like the Hannah Ann's, the Maddie's, the
somebody I
the
had,
Victoria's.
I had heard the pairing of Brendan and Abigail, which I'm really down for.
Oh, I enjoyed that. That's an interesting pairing.
You know what I really want to see is my future brother-in-law, Philip. He is a big Abigail fan. I want to set that one up. He's a professional athlete. He's a stud. I'm like, all right, let's see.
I have such a massive girl crush on her. I haven't had a girl crush
on
her.
Bring him on to Paris.
Like that in so long.
Yeah. So I'd love to answer that question. It's a really hard one for me right now because I feel like everybody I used to be able to say, I don't know anymore.
True.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Sometimes the best way to get through something is to talk to someone about it. So whether you are depressed or you're super stressed out or you have anxiety, or maybe you're going through relationship issues and your friends are sick of hearing it and or you're angry or you have family issues, anything, it is nice to talk to a licensed professional who specializes in those things. And thanks to BetterHelp, you can find someone super easily and conveniently. And anything you share on BetterHelp is confidential. It's convenient, professional, affordable. And so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're actually recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
So you guys, we want you to start living a happier life today. And as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/get it. So join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health at betterhelp.com/get it. That's betterhelp.com/get it. Okay, Ben, I asked you to come with some I Don't Get It. Do you have any good ones?
I have a couple that I wrote down on my phone here. I made a list in the last 2 days.
Thank you.
No problem. I have three that I think we could talk about. One is,
all right.
I don't get why people like Keurigs so much.
Like what?
What? It's Keurig. So efficient and delicious.
That's hilarious that you say that because my I don't get it for the week is why are Nespressos so much better than Keurigs and how do they get so fluffy?
I can tell you.
You guys
how.
Are on the same wavelength.
Yeah. So
Nas, why?
I can tell you guys how because I work with Nespresso and I love them. And they just covered Heartbroken Anonymous. So I asked them that. I said, why is the Nespresso so damn good? It literally tastes like a latte. You don't need
you
cream
don't need
on
cream
it.
And sugar. Like, why don't you need cream and sugar with
guy,
an Nespresso?
And a guy in the back told me in his French accent, it is because the blade is so fast. Apparently, The machine is the fastest blade ever. And they've patented it. And no other coffee machine has it. And it goes so quick that
the
it whips
blade
the
is
coffee.
So fast.
It is so fast that it whips it. And it's like creme. But, and I was like, yep, I fucking love Nespresso.
I agree with Ben, though, because Keurigs, if we're just going to talk about Keurigs, yeah. Keurigs blow. Yeah. I don't like Keurig coffee. Jared and I make a pot usually. Most mornings, I'd say 5 out of the 7, we make a pot of coffee. And we've been using that generous coffee. Hey. The dark cherry one, really, really good.
Shameless plug there, Ash.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Shameless? It's, I know, truth. It's
so good. Yeah, shameless.
Oh, I love them. I think they're so, so efficient.
So here's the problem. Sorry, guys. Here's the problem, and I'll give you my
argument. The environment, here. They're so bad for the environment.
They're terrible for the environment. As of a year ago, there's enough Keurig cups in our landfills to circle the whole globe. I think it was 3 times. Wow. And so, we might come out with a recyclable Keurig that we're trying to work on right now, but the plastic ones aren't great, and it melts the plastic, and so you're getting the plastic scent on your flavor on your coffee a little bit. You might not even recognize, but it's not good for you. I don't get Keurig. So the second one is one that's going to make me that Ashley will understand. I don't know if the rest of you will. I don't get how we haven't came up with a better solution than toilet paper to be used. I think toilet paper, there's so
this
many downs.
So bad.
Yeah, there's so many downsides to this. One is messiness. One is the issue where you could have a disaster and you poke through it during your process. The other one is like the leftover. Like there's always a little leftover. That's not cool. And I just can't see how that cleans effectively. Now you could say, oh, well, there's wipes out there. That's great. Wipes don't help me. In fact, wipes kind of like make me feel all weird when I stand up and try to walk away.
Because, I feel like a baby.
Because it leaves you a little wet too.
Yeah. You're like, it makes me feel like I've reverted back to being 6 months.
Right. You got to do a toilet paper wipe, then a wet wipe, and then a toilet paper wipe to dry off.
That's so bad for the environment, though.
I know. I'm sorry, but we all need bidets. Yeah. That's the only answer.
Ben would prefer a bidet. Now, Ben, if you had a bidet, would you also use a little bit of paper, or you would just let the whole water shooting action clean you up? Because that makes me feel dirty in a way, too.
Yeah, see, Ashton knows about me. I just prefer the shower. Like, quite honestly, there's just, it just feels.
I can't believe you said that.
It just feels a lot.
Yeah, but for pooping, for.
Yeah,
pooping.
He goes into the shower right after he poops. Yeah.
Oh,
and that's all he does.
After.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like, I don't go in it. No,
I was like, are you pooping in the. Remember the waffle stomping?
Stop, Ben.
Ben, do you know what waffle stomping is?
No.
It was the most disturbing podcast story we've ever
in
had.
Like dorm rooms, in dorm rooms or whatever, people shit in the shower and then stomp it down the drain. And that's a waffle stomper.
And that's a waffle stomper.
That's disgusting.
Happens a lot.
That's disgusting. Yeah.
I'm going to barf.
That's really gross.
Ashley's literally.
Yeah, she's getting sick. That's disgusting.
Ashley, you have a really weak stomach today.
Yeah,
are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. You guys, real quick, not to derail us here, but you want to hear something kind of funny that you made me think of this when you said the stompers down the drain. In college, my dorm room or my dorm hall was so testosterone filled that they had to put signs up in the shower. Please do not masturbate in the showers because you're clogging our drains. That was a sign.
No.
How funny is that? Yeah, that's
that can clog drains.
Yeah, I thought that would be like water soluble.
Yeah.
On this note, guys, I know they're really trendy and popular and good for the environment, but these reusable, washable diapers that like some of the mommy bloggers are posting about.
Is that a thing?
I don't get that at all, because then aren't you throwing poop into the washing machine with your other clothes?
Interesting.
Oh, I guess you probably have to wash it by itself.
We probably have to have Becca Martinez on the podcast to talk about this.
Yeah. She'd know that. Okay. Final thing. It's going to make me feel old. It's going to probably make a lot of people out there be like, yeah, you're just lame. I don't get TikTok. I've never got it. I don't understand
it. I knew it was coming.
I don't get it. And it takes a long time to make. And like, I just don't get it.
It is the most time consuming. I made 2 videos finally, like last month, even though TikTok's been out for like, what, over a year now? And someone was like, you need to make it about Heartbroken Anonymous. So many people are lonely on there. Ben, it took 6 hours to make 2 videos. I go, never again. I'm done. I cannot be on this app. I can't.
No, I don't get it.
I get watching it. I get watching it. I also like understand the talent that it takes, so I respect those who do it. However, I don't get how you can come up with so many funny concepts so many days in a row.
It's not about like becoming TikTok famous, but it's about curating your feed to be made for you.
Your humor.
So if you're like, enjoying it, your opinions, and you're just liking things, it's fun. If you have to make it, not fun.
I like watching it. I do say, I do think it is better than Instagram. I think people connect more on there. I like it better in that sense. I just, as far as being a content creator on it,
it's hard. It's hard.
So I guess that's my point. Maybe I should have prefaced that with like, I don't get being a content creator on it. I enjoy watching them. I enjoy scrolling through them. There's some like really interesting like sports highlights and golf highlights that I get to see and golf lessons on there, but I don't understand making them. It just feels time consuming and stressful.
Yeah. The time commitment is probably the, I don't get it, because unless you're thinking about making it your job, then why are you doing it?
Exactly. But also make the editing features easier.
Yeah. The editing features are hard.
Easy to edit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my three. I don't get it. I'm sure there's more in this world. In fact, like Ashley, at this point in 4 years of doing Almost Famous together, has heard a lot of them. Like, I don't get why people can't wait their turn on airplanes. I don't get, there's a lot of things I don't get. Body hair. I don't understand why men have body hair. It doesn't make sense to me, especially in the places we have it. It doesn't do anything good. It just kind of makes things weird. But hey, I guess that's for another time. Yeah, having that.
Wait, really quick.
You know what we don't get?
What?
You with Caitlin. Did you ever think that you and Caitlin could really be?
That's one of our... Yeah, did you ever really see yourself with Caitlin?
Quite honestly, no. I did not. Now, it wasn't because... Like, I like Caitlin to this day. Like, I think she's one of the coolest people I've ever met. And she's funny. And I was intrigued by her. She was unlike anybody I've ever met. Any girl I've ever met. Any girl I'd ever dated. But it was actually in the fantasy suites. We were kind of like... sitting there, and what would happen was the show had given us like a bottle of bourbon or whiskey, Irish whiskey, and we drank it, and we were like kind of dancing, like playing music and dancing around the room, and it was like a blast. Like, we had an incredible time together, and then like we sat down on the bed. I remember this, and we're like, I was like, I'm not going to be the one at the end, am I? And she's like, you're not. And I was like, okay. Like,
wow. You're not.
Wait, Ben, have you ever shared this? I didn't even know this.
I don't think I've shared it like this. I don't think it was like exactly like you're not. It was like a long, like kind of like drawn out, like, hey, I think you're great. Hey, I think you're great. I had a blast tonight. This is one of the most fun times I've ever had. Like, we just played music. Mm-hmm. We hadn't had music in a while. But like, ultimately, like, I know I'm not the one that you're most interested in. One of those reasons is because like during the show, I was in a room when you snuck in to kiss the dude that you're most into. Like, I saw it with my own eyes. Yeah. So like, and you gave me no attention.
You knew you were at least second place.
So we kind of always had that like unspoken understanding, but it was mostly, and I would hope she would say this about me. I would take it as a huge compliment. I hope I was around because there was an ease to like being around me and that we just both enjoyed each other, yet knowing that we weren't romantically meant for each other.
Yeah. I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting, but Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give, but what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
I think the moment I felt super close to you on her season was your overnight, because me and another producer were working on your overnight, and you stayed in a castle. I stayed down the street. I've never asked you, how cool is it staying there? And do you ever think about that other hotel we stayed at in Killarney, Ireland? Because I randomly think about it a lot, actually.
Yeah, I do.
Because it was such a unique, weird... Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I do, yeah. There's like little caves and coves to it, and like little... like mm-hmm. Yeah, the castle was incredible. It was a real castle. And Naz, you could tell me if I'm wrong here. I don't know if you remember this. It was super fancy, and we'd actually like snuck out in the middle of the night and like ran up to the top of it because we were just like, we got to see this place. Cause it was just so cool. I mean, it was incredible. And, but okay. So we had this like bottle of Irish whiskey, and I think it was like a bottle of wine or something that was like iced down. And it was like sitting on the bed when we had came in, and then we like obviously moved it. And then we woke up in the morning, and this is a castle that I think the queen has stayed in. Super fancy furniture, super like old furniture. And what happened, we woke up in the morning, we moved, the bottle of wine, like off wherever we had sat it. And it was on a leather, like, leather topped table that was like super antique, and it had leaked through, like the water from the ice had like condensated on the leather and ruined that whole table. Do you remember this?
Oh my gosh. I do. Yes. Now that you're talking about it, but I don't know whatever came of that.
I mean, it had to be like a $5,000 table at least.
It had to have been the woman. No. Remember you met the woman that lived in that castle, I think.
Yeah. Which would have been a little creepy because it was like a real castle with like those old, big old paintings that like have people staring at you. I mean, it looked like Bridgerton. Eyes. Like it looked just
Ben,
like it.
Yeah.
Did you watch Bridgerton?
I did.
Wait, did you watch it with Jess, or did you watch it on your own?
I watched on my own on a flight. I've been on a couple flights, and I've watched it.
Oh, I love it. Did you get to episode 6?
You watch those sex scenes on an airplane in front of people?
That's when it gets weird. Yeah, that's when it gets weird.
Did they edit it for the airplane? I wonder if
they
edited it.
No, Netflix.
No, he's watching on his computer.
Yeah, Netflix, yeah. So I did. Yes, the montage where they just recently got married and they fall in love is really
Taylor Swift.
If I got on a plane during COVID and saw Ben Higgins watching Bridgerton, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on in the world?
He's everything I've dreamed he would be.
Oh my God, that would be pretty amazing.
Literally bust open my carry-on, turn on a peasant top and be like, meet me in the back.
That's what you're waiting for that wedding night.
God, it's
that's
special.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's special. Yeah. I didn't realize it was like probably a little bit over halfway through it. I told Jessica, I was like, I don't know why people like love this show so much. She's like, it's not meant for people like you. And I was like, that probably makes sense. Like it's a romance like novel. It's not meant, it's a show that's like meant to like, it's a fairy tale. And I'm just sitting there like, hey, it's pretty good. Like I get the storyline.
There's not a lot of conflict.
No, but hey, I'm just really excited that we kind of got to figure out who Miss Withers.
Lady Whistledown
is. I'm pretty excited about that.
You made it to the end. That's
so
incredible.
He's going to be watching season 2.
I mean, it was one of the most streamed shows ever. I have to ask you this one question, that if you've seen Bridgerton, did you see Emily in Paris?
Because
that's
not.
Another one of the most streamed shows of last year.
I have not, but it's downloaded for, I have a couple, I'm flying. In fact, not to get serious for a second, but Honduras was struck by two hurricanes earlier this year. It's I know it's a tough thing to decide to do, but I have to go down there here this next week. Mm-hmm. I've downloaded it for that flight.
Wow, Ben, that's amazing. That's you're going sweet. Down there. Well, we'd love to have you back one day to talk Emily and Paris. Better yet,
and Honduras.
The Sex in the City show. We're gonna do a whole Patreon on it, and then he should be
yes.
On it.
Ben's take on Sex in the City would be fantastic.
We should actually do that. We should have guys, like a guy each episode, to come and talk about their take.
Yeah, it's like watch this episode. Yeah,
that's great.
All right, Ben, thank you so much for being here. It was fun.
It is fun. You guys are really. You. Fun. You guys are you're not only really good at this, you're just a lot of fun to talk to. I love you guys. And thanks for having me on.
Aw, we love you, Ben. You're the best. Ben. Buy Alone in Plain Sight, guys.
Yes, please. Yeah. Anywhere you can buy books. See y'all.
Bye.
Anywhere books are sold.
Bye. If you want to be the most interesting person at the cocktail party, well, hop on over and listen to the Brain Candy Podcast.
Our award-winning content will have you laughing while you're learning.
We read all the best articles, books, and studies, and keep up with new TV shows, documentaries, and pop culture. And then we cram it all into two shows a week.
Conspiracy theories, cannibal rabbits, unsolved mysteries, the history of the Walkman. There's something for everyone.
The Brain Candy Podcast. Find our link in the show notes.
Or simply search for the Brain Candy Podcast on your podcast app.
I don't get it.
Podcast.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.